Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That is the theme for this series that we've been involved in, called or entitled, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And tonight we're going to be looking at part 2 of what we started last time together, and that is keeping your focus in these last days. What does it mean as a believer to be staying focused and staying on target, staying on mission, as it were, regarding being an effective and strong believer in these last days? What should that look like? And church, I got to tell you, I think you already know this, especially those of you who attend this church, that there's a culture out there that is godless and that is of the spirit, listen, that is of the spirit of what the Bible warns in 1 John of the Antichrist. There is the Antichrist, the person. There is the spirit of Antichrist that the Christian contends with every day in life. And so as we get into our study tonight, keep something in mind. The Bible tells us that the days are going to worsen, but we are to take a stand against evil. You say, well, Jack, if the Bible says that the days are going to worsen, then why don't we just relax and let evil take its course? Because Jesus has commanded us, the Word of God has commanded us, that we need to be salt and light. We need to stand for what's right, even though we know that the days will become more and more evil. In other words, if we're going to go down, God would have us go down swinging in defense of righteousness, in defense of godliness. And that's a very important thing to realize, especially for you young people tonight. You're on the high school and college campuses. You're contending with a worldview that is extremely anti-biblical, anti-God, anti-Christ. So as we look at these things, all tonight, keep in mind that we are to be focused as believers. And so we're looking at that, keeping your focus, and how do we get from here to heaven? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and then we'll jump on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said, I beseech you. That word again means I urge you. I personally challenge you. I plead with you, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, the total person of who we are, as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed, that is that worldly system, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, think about the Olympics now, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Part one in our message, we looked at this concerning keeping our focus. It was our one and only point last week together, and it was being focused on the fact that we are to be enduring as Christians. Enduring. That means it's going to be tough. And we looked at four things regarding that. Number one was that we are to be enduring the past. That's vital. As Christians, we are now new people, and yet we deal with the memory of our past, and we are to fight the memory of our past. But at the same time, we are to be strengthened by what God redeems out of our past, that all of our hindrances and all of our setbacks in life, now in Christ as a Christian, God makes us stronger as believers in this day and age. Secondly, we looked at the fact that we need to be enduring the disappointments of life. We are to endure them. God takes those disappointments and builds character in us. Thirdly, we looked at the fact that we are to be enduring hardships themselves. That if you and I are going to be a Christian in a world as this world is, we are going to be the enemy of a system that is opposite to God. And the Bible tells us that it's through much trials and difficulty and personal tribulation that we'll inherit the kingdom of God. And then finally, we looked at the fact that we need to be enduring the life of a believer. We are to put up, and I love it, we are to put up with the life of difficulty in this world. Why? Jesus said, listen, don't get too discouraged. Don't get bummed out. Because number one, Jesus said they hated him long before they hated us. And that we, the moment we raise our hands to accept Christ or to stand for Christ or to stand for what the Bible teaches and believes in, you have aligned yourself with a whole host of demonic powers that are roaming this globe, if you think about it. But the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4 that we are not to be discouraged because greater is he that is in us, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. So here we go now. Here we go. Pick up your notes and start writing them down. It's point number two. Keeping your focus is this, that we focus on persevering. Persevering. How so? Well, number one, this way, determining right now, church, to stay close to Jesus. Will you write that down? This is the most critical thing I can give you at a time like this. That number one, we know that as believers, we are to persevere, not give up, not quit. How many of you ever feel like quitting? Okay, will you raise your hands? Yes. If you are advancing, you are also having contend with the thought of, am I making a difference? Is anything happening? Does my life, or maybe you're involved in some sort of a ministry at work or your neighborhood, are the things that I'm standing for making a difference? Is life being changed around me? You are going to suffer a sense of, I want to quit. I want to give up. Now, Lisa is always, my wife, an encouragement Sunday afternoon. I suffer from PMS every Sunday afternoon. Do you know what PMS stands for? It's post-ministry syndrome. Because after Sunday service, I'm so bummed. I'm so discouraged because I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. And you know what I'm saying? It's hard. But listen, God tells us that we need to focus on the fact as Christians in the world that we are going to be persevering. It's not an option. We've got to continue on. And we've got to stay close to Jesus. That is our first step in success in walking with Him. Throughout the Bible, you know that there are stories and there are events throughout Scripture that are for our learning, for our edification, that people who started with God didn't finish with God. I think of the children of Israel who left Egypt. They started with God, but the Bible says that generation that departed from Egypt because of unbelief did not enter in into the promised land. Remember what it said? That all of those unbelievers, isn't that amazing? They were unbelievers while they had a pillar of fire and a cloud. They didn't believe that God would get them into the promised land. They murmured and complained, and the Bible says because of unbelief, they perished in the wilderness. Those lessons are for our learning. You say, well, tonight you believe in God. That's awesome, but are you trusting God? The difference is their children trusted the Lord and went into the promised land. That first generation of believers did not. You want to stay close to Jesus. And then there's, of course, from the children of Israel all the way to Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 in a church where Jesus was the pastor. And he was a deceiver. John's gospel tells us that he stole money out of the money bag, that he was always plotting the betrayal of Jesus, starting with Jesus but not finishing. Listen, as believers tonight, we want to understand that following Christ, church, is going to take an effort. You want to stay next to Jesus because it's Jesus that gets us all the way through to the end. But listen to this. It is important that you understand that following Christ takes effort, perseverance. You see, Jack, really? I mean, don't I just have to confess Jesus and then He'll take care of all the rest? Yes, to some degree, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. He died on the cross for us. He died to remove sin and its power from us. But now that He's done that for us, what love dictates is for you and I to follow Him. That's vital to us, to stay close to Jesus. Listen to this, John chapter 8, verse 30. John 8, 30 says, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. You know that's a fact today. Do you name the name of Jesus? Say, yes, Pastor, I do. Okay, then listen. This is what's required of us. Yes, He's done everything for us. But in response to that, in love, we are to have His word abiding in us. We are to be in Bible study like you are right now. We are to be reading the Bible for ourselves on our own. We are to be investing in the things of God in our life. Why? Because Jesus says, by that, you growing in the Word of God, consuming the Word of God, you're going to experience something that is called discipleship. And that is important. We can get you to sign up to join our discipleship ministries, but better for the Holy Spirit to be working in your heart for you to be able to pursue what God is leading you to do. Could we put you in a headlock and make you get baptized? Sure, we could. We have some pretty big people around here. Is that what God wants? Does God want me to wag my finger at you and scold you and come down on you, or to lay out the truth and that a responsive, loving heart to God in appreciation of what Christ has done is going to respond? The answer is yes to that. It's got to be by love. Look, understanding that He loves us generates a response from us. It's vital. You know, we often say, it's not religion, it's relationship. But what do we mean by that? Religion is a sense of discipline whereby I will do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do the other thing, and I'll make sure I give, and I'll make sure I go, and I'll make sure of this and that. Listen, that is a sense of compulsion that is not from the heart. But if, on the other hand, you are born again, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit has written the law of God upon your heart, and you're going to want to draw close to Jesus. Listen, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you tonight, you know you love Jesus, and yes, as soon as you think that thought, it comes right back into your ears. I love Him, but I don't love Him enough. I follow Him, but I don't follow Him enough. I understand that feeling. I feel the same way. But there's no way that you would want to turn from Him, abandon Him, or leave Him. The sense of your love toward Him is so weak and so sad that you're almost ashamed of it. And yet God is so good to us that He takes these feeble attempts of our love for Him and He receives them unto Himself. It's amazing to me. I have to ask God, Lord, I love You. Give me the power to love You more. Can I have an amen? You know what I'm talking about? It's bizarre, isn't it? Staying close to Jesus means everything. In Matthew 4:18, it says this. Now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then He, Jesus, said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. What a great statement. As believers, we want to stay close to Jesus Christ. To walk in the same shoes is what that word follow means. To walk in the same shoes, to walk in the same steps. We would use today the word to mimic. You see a little child maybe walking, maybe it's a little girl, and she's walking around the house wearing her mommy's high heels, playing dress up. Think about that as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. It's absolutely essential that we are to stay focused in these last days and that we're to be persevering after Christ. If we set our... Listen, are you single tonight? Listen to this. If you set your sights on Jesus, you won't have to worry about your singleness. Are you going through a rough marriage? Set your sights on Jesus. Draw near to Him and God will take care of the rest. Are you waiting for your spouse or your friend or your fiance to change? Forget it. Keep your eye on Jesus. And watch what He does in your heart. And then, by the way, at the end of the day, if your fiance who you're engaged with or you're thinking about asking that person, if you're not impressed with their Christianity, then maybe it's time to cool that relationship. You say, well, what do you do if you're married? Get on your knees, fast and pray, and ask God to intercede by His amazing power. He will intervene and begin to rescue that marriage. God is good. Listen, He believes in marriage. Drawing close to Jesus, you can never lose. When there's men who come to me, and I don't counsel women when it comes to marriage stuff. When men come to me and they say, Pastor, my wife left me. What do I do? I say, there's only one thing to do. And they're thinking, chocolates, flowers. No. There's only one thing to do, I tell them. Get as close to Jesus as you can. And if your wife continues to decide to leave you, then let her know that she's leaving the greatest man of God she's ever seen. Because win, lose, or draw, follow Christ. There's no other place to go. Follow Him. It's vital. So we're to follow him. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the birth of the church, an awesome thing here. Acts 2, 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfast. Listen, number one, in the apostles' doctrine. Number two, in fellowship. Number three, in the breaking of bread. And number four, in prayers. Drawing close to Jesus, Christian, listen. Number one, be immersed in the doctrine of God's word. That is the Bible. The Bible. Study it. Yes, come to Bible studies. God has commanded us for us to gather corporately. But study the Bible on your own. See, what do you recommend? Are you serious? I'll tell you. Your Bible, a pencil, and a blank sheet of paper. I really do. Let God speak to you. I can't think of a greater way for you to learn how to hear God's voice than to read the Bible, have a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and study God's word. So how do you do that? Ask God, when you read the Bible, what does this mean? And then keep reading. Watch what he does. Hey, our God's alive. We don't have to fill in the gap for him. He's there. The Bible says in 1 John, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the ability to understand God's word. The doctrine. Number two, the fellowship as being Christians. It means that we are to be together. We're to hang out together as believers. Now, I know in a church this size, we all cannot hang out together. But listen, hang on now. Every one of you who are a Christian needs dramatically to find a friend in the body of Christ. Now, I don't mean after service, walk up to people and say, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Pray, and then listen, show yourself to be friendly to other people. Get involved in ministry and service. Birds of a feather, what? When Christians are serving, that's a great place to be at for a lot of reasons. I'll talk about more of that in a minute. And then the breaking of bread. This is the act of worship as believers in all that we say and do. If we eat, we eat to the glory of God. Church, if we sing, we sing to the glory of God. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. And the breaking of bread, that tight, close fellowship. Those are things that God establishes. But you and I have got to be willing. And I know in Southern California, we're so busy going constantly that it's hard for us to determine, I'm going to turn off the TV or get out of that setting and I'm going to go make myself available. And yet that's the greatest thing that you can do. And then look at prayer. Prayer that is both corporate as well as individual prayer. In prayer, there's nothing like prayer that unites a body of believers together. Prayer. Are you involved in a small prayer group? You should be. Why not? Join us for prayer and in one of the prayer services that go on here. Pray. Pray with others. The needs are overwhelming. It is amazing to realize, though, that our passionate pursuits reveal our heart's desire. And drawing close to Jesus, I don't know about you, I hope it's true, but I want to be around people who love Jesus. I need them. I need them. So I'm going to give you a couple of things. Number one, how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, this way. Number one is this. We need to love Jesus Christ the most. We need to love Christ the most. You say, Jack, that's too simple. Oh, yeah? Write it down. It's not so simple. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll keep my sayings. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and you do not do the things I say? So, Lord, I want to say to you right now, and as a church collectively, Lord, we love you, we want to love you more, and we want to have that number one in our lives. That's how we are going to flourish as a believer in these days. Also this, listen, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, Jesus said to the church there, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. I love that. The first works. They're so simple. Or else I will come upon you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus said that to a church. An active church. A powerful church. But they had left their first love. Listen, do you remember a time in your life when Jesus had more of a grip on you? Then you've left your first love. Do you remember being more open to what God wants to do? Then you've left your first love. Do you somehow look back at the past and say, oh, I remember when I was, you know, I'd stay up all night talking to my friends about Jesus. Or, listen, if you're not doing that anymore, you've left your first love. This is a heart-searching, convicting thing. The number one question on our hearts and minds should be, Lord, have I abandoned you? And let me tell you this. I'll confess it for you. Every Christian goes through seasons where our love ebb and flows for the Lord. I wish it weren't true. We don't even have to intend it to be so, but we can become so busy. Look, does it not happen in any or every relationship that you know? Don't you have to maintain love relationship, love talk, love everything with the people that you know? When you don't contact people or you don't have interface with people, there's a detachment. Why? Because it causes a coolness or a breeze to blow upon that relationship. It makes it difficult. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? We need to listen to what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, listen to this. Now it happened that as they were there and they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Listen. But Martha was distracted. She must have been from California. Distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. Can you imagine telling God? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice. Martha, Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he's saying. And where's Martha? Freaking out in the kitchen, panicking. She's probably got flour all over her face, or her apron's got spaghetti sauce on it, or falafel juice on it, And then, you know, she's cooking and she probably looks over her shoulder. Man, look at Mary. She's just sitting around. Jesus says, hey, there's a time when sitting around is a great thing to do. Why? Because we're to be listening to him. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? Are you writing these things down? All right, then. How do we stay close to Jesus? We need to be where he is. Notice, Jesus is. Where is he? Well, he's everywhere. But where is he moving? What's he doing? Reaching the homeless? Yeah. Where is he? Is he at the hospital? What a ministry to go to the local hospitals around here and to be near the emergency room or the waiting rooms. Have you walked by a hospital waiting room lately and see the families in there grieving or scared or terrified or in doubt? Pull on in there. You go see a friend, see somebody from the church. On your way out, pull on into the waiting room. See if anybody's there. You've got more hope hidden in your heart and more Bible in your soul. And they may be sitting there with nothing. And they need you. They need you. Go where Jesus is. Oh, and this one I like. How do we stay close to Jesus? We need to act like Jesus acts. This is fun. In 1 John 4, listen to this. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. Man. When people look at us, they're supposed to say, yep, I've read the Bible and I've seen how Jesus acts, and that's how they're acting. When the early church was witnessing for Christ, remember what the Roman leaders said? Hey, we recognize those guys. They must have been with Jesus. Isn't that a great statement? You say, Jack, I don't know if people could say that about me. Well, that's why we're having Bible study tonight. We need to put these things into practice, what we're talking about tonight. This is not some sort of theoretical thing. This is, let's get up and do this. Can I say this? I'm going to say it. Even if you say no, but I'm just asking to be nice, get your attention, draw you in, and then say, does anyone in this church or in the church that you attend perhaps need your walk with Jesus? Are you needed? If you're not needed, you're a Christian and you're not needed in the church that you attend, why? What are you doing? You say, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, you're the pastor. Listen, I was serving before I was ever a pastor. The Holy Spirit in us causes us to be consumed with other people. And listen, you don't have to be a big mouth like me to be blessing other people. That's a miracle. Straightening chairs. You know that? See, I don't like to talk to anybody. Straighten chairs. Do the windows. You should see this place after a Sunday service. There's fingerprints everywhere. Think about that. I mean, it's really true. And it's an awesome thing to realize that as a Christian, my life, others need to depend upon me for ministry. You guys, that's a great thing. Are you afraid of that? Don't be afraid of that. We need that kind of commitment. Well, also this, focus on persevering this way. Determine now to stay around other people. We touched on that a moment ago. From the earliest outset of the church, the Holy Spirit sees fit, even today, that God's disciples continue in a state of fellowship with one another. We're to be fellowshipping with each other. Listen, Christian, we need to be careful about who we hang out with and where we go. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour. I love John. The Bible says it's the last time, last days, not John. He says, it's the last hour. He said that 2,000 years ago, so we must be down to the last minute. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made revealed or manifested that none of them were of us. What does that mean? Church, get ready to hear this. A gathering, a church gathering, is something that God delights in. He loves it. Frankly, I'm offended when I hear ministries try to do anything and everything to not mention the word church. Advertisements. Come to our gathering. It's just like not going to church. I don't know how you view that. Maybe you might say, well, you know, that's kind of cool, I guess, trying to reach out to people. Wait a minute. It's the Holy Spirit's job to reach out to people. We can just invite. They've got to respond to His call. Check this out. Are we ashamed of the church? Now, granted, the church has done a lot of stupid things. And it's given itself a black eye by punching itself. There's no doubt about it. But let's remember this before we mouth off against the church and the world. Jesus loves the church. He gave His life for the church. And we ought to carry that among one another. We better be careful about who we hang out with and where we go, because you know what? You are the church. And God loves you, and we're to love one another, and you're to love those that are around you. We are to be around others. You say, Pastor, I love Jesus, but I don't want to talk to anybody. That would be easy. God's not into easy. So, man, I don't get along with Christians. That's because you're family. What family gets along? We're supposed to be with one another. We're supposed to wash one another's feet, either literally or with Scripture. Think about that. Well, I don't like being around those people. They drive me nuts. You probably drive them nuts. That's not the point. Where does it say in the Bible? We are to be together. On Sundays, I kind of get a little feel for that. In the foyer, I'm greeting people. And I really would love to know the story, but some people come up to me and they go, hi, Pastor, God bless you, have a great week. And there's some people, I can see it, you can feel it. They're coming and they see me in the foyer and they're like trapped. They know they're in the foyer, they can't go around it. And it's like, what is that? On Sunday, I need to reach out and tackle them. We need one another. It's very true. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, Paul said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Son of God is among His people. It's amazing. But listen, I'm going to step on some toes maybe. I don't know. Make sure that your fellowship with Christians, that they are godly Christians, not carnal Christians. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, the Bible says there, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Wow. Persevering among other people. But make sure that your Christian fellowship is truly Christian. It shouldn't be something that pulls you down. I highly recommend you determining tonight to fellowship with other Christians who pull you up closer to Christ. See, man, that sounds legalistic. It's fatherly, biblical wisdom. It's true. In the New Testament, when the church was being generated and going out to the world, it's amazing, the Bible tells us, and it should be true today. I know it's true today. It should be practiced today. Regarding this, the scripture says concerning a brother or a sister who, for example, is engaged in sexual immorality, the Bible says that the godly Christian should not even eat with that other believer. Did you know that? The Bible says that. Why? Because that person will be convicted by their isolation and repent and come back to Christ. Come back to the fellowship. And that's considered radical today. And that's, I think, the reason why the church is so carnal. And so maybe ineffective in the world today. The church does not need to come down to the level of the world. The church needs to get closer to Christ. And when that happens, that will pull the unbeliever up. The unbeliever is sick of the world. I believe that. The unbeliever is tired of the world. They don't want any more of the world. They don't understand how to get out of it, but they're sick of it. That's why they keep going from one drunken beer stupor thing to the next thing. They're not happy about it, honestly. Man, they get plastered on Friday, plastered on Saturday, they sleep through Sunday, and then they go back to work with a headache on Monday. And they hate living like that, but they don't know how to get out. I think if the church stood there and said, hey, come up here, like Pilgrim's Progress in Bunyan's great writings, they would rise up. That's going to happen, church, if you and I determine tonight we're going to persevere as believers. It's important. Determine now to stay, listen, determine now to stay in a church. You may not attend this church, that's fine. You may be from some other church, fantastic. Find a church and stay in it. Oh, it's going to get really quiet in here in a second. This is the scourge of the American church today. I got a letter this week from a person who said, if my child is not allowed to serve in this capacity, I'm leaving the church. Can you believe that? Put up your hands. I want church my way. And if it's not my way, then I'm leaving. Think about that. They wouldn't go rob a bank. But they want it their way, and so they threaten the ministry that if I don't have it my way, look, you want it your way, go to Burger King or McDonald's, whoever does that. We are all striving together to have it God's way. And this is so important. You guys, listen. The church is for you and I to be equipped, schooled, raised, brought up, so that we might go out into the world and affect the world for Jesus and be so attractive to the world that the world says, I want your Jesus. It's not about us. It is not about us. When we worship, I don't like that worship song. It's not your worship song. That's the second week in a row they sang that song. Jesus likes the song. That's why it was put on the worship leader's heart. Well, I'm not going to come back because that's the second week in a row I heard that song. They weren't singing it to you. Are you with me? This is important stuff. We need to persevere, and we'll never persevere with our eyes on the target if everything is dangling out here on our sleeves that are mine are all undone. It hurt my feelings. Take your feelings and put them in the back seat. Persevere. That guy didn't say hi to me. Next time, say hi to him first. Put your hurt in the back seat. Yeah, but you know what? And that message, you know, you said that thing and that really... Put it in the back seat. What church you're at, serve in that church. See, you know, I'll go to a church when I find a good church. As soon as you find a good church, you'll mess it up by attending that church. There are no perfect churches. Can we have an amen? There's no perfect church. Don't you? I know now. I'm getting old. I've been around for a while. 34 years as a believer. This church is coming up on its 20th anniversary in August. We have seen some stuff. Here's what I've concluded. Not only there are no perfect churches, God will never allow a perfect church to exist. You want to know why? Because it would be so easy, so simple, so arrogant, proud, and self-centered. There's no ministry in perfection. You have to put up with me because you're commanded by God to love me. I have to put up with you because I've been commanded by God to love you. Isn't that amazing? This is the church. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's a living organism. And I thought about that, how God delights in the local church. And I want you to make a note of that. The local church. We're a local church. And I love this. I tell you, this area is amazing. Greg Laurie's down the freeway, and there's a bazillion million people that attend that church. Less than 2 miles from here is Calvary Chapel Chino Valley with Pastor David Rosales, and a bazillion million people attend that church. You go over the hills and through the woods to Raul Reese's church you go. And just 3 miles from here is Pastor Raul Reese. Chuck Swindoll used to be over the hills. In Fullerton. And if you don't want to do that, you can go. It's just like, it's amazing. It's like Friday night. You can go to Taco Bell, Burger King. You can go to all around. Amazing works of God. And if you want to take a 30-minute drive, you can go to Calvary Costa Mesa. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Wherever you go, put your feet in there, get planted, and serve. And watch what happens to you. When you determine, I'm going to ride this wave. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to serve. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do this to the glory of God. And this will be the fellowship where I invest my life. Listen, find a church and do it. Watch what happens to you. But no, too many people in our culture today, in Southern California anyway, they go from church to church to church because it's all about them. And you are missing out on ultimate happiness when you begin to realize how joyous it is to be living for others. Man, it's amazing. Point number three, and this is our final point because we did the first point a week ago or so. We just did point two. This is point three. We'll end right here. Keeping your focus regarding how do we get from here to heaven? Focus on being ready. Oh, I like this. Focus on being ready, number one, this way. Getting ready by being selective, and let me explain. Getting ready, Christian, by being selective. Very serious issue. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, listen to what the Bible says. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of God, or righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, that's the word of God in their life, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Man, as Christians, we are to be very selective regarding our energy, our direction, and our understanding. We need to be able to be selective and discerning about what's good and what's bad. Example, a person may decide... Well, maybe not even thinking about it. To go somewhere. To pull over because they're thirsty. To get a drink from a bar when they've in their past had a problem with drinking. And then they wonder that why they get sucked into that. Not thinking straight. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what would you have me to say? Where would you have me to go? letting the Word of God govern your conduct in your life, being ready, by being selective, by how you choose. Church, listen, meaning this. Now, don't yell it out, because I have a follow-up question. Do you believe Jesus could come back at any moment? Well, if that's true, that will govern truly, powerfully, your decision-making process. Think about it. Very powerful. That will determine how you live your life. What kind of witness is being brought forth out of your Christian example and existence? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." That is an awesome statement right there, verse 10. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's a commandment, by the way. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secrets." Be very selective, Christian. Stay away from compromising issues. Also this, focus on being ready. Secondly, staying ready by being discerning. Jesus would tell us and has told us in Scripture to pay attention, to be very careful about what we hear. This is kind of scary. There's so many voices out there in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, in the name of God, and they're saying things. And you'll hear people say, if I hear it once a month, it's still too often. "Hey, Pastor, I was listening to this guy, and he sounded okay, but then he said that on such and such a day, the world's going to come to an end, and Jesus will come back on Monday at 3 o'clock or whatever it is. But I really like the guy. He's really great." And that's a warning, man. You're watching a nut. That's a goofball. That's a scary thing. No man knows the day or the hour. Aren't you talking about being ready right here in your message? Yes, I'm talking about being ready. That's biblical, but I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour. In fact, if I were to tell you the day or the hour, then you know for sure that's not the day or the hour. The Bible says in Mark 4:23, "If anyone has ears to hear," Jesus said, "let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed." That word means discern, test, and judge what you hear. In the last days, Christian, be very discerning. Judge what you hear. And then thirdly, finally, it's this, being ready by being vigilant. It's a word we don't hear much anymore. There is a real sense in our Christianity today to keep things calm. Now, hear me out. Don't prejudge this comment just yet. Listen, Christianity brings us peace. Christianity is peace. No doubt about that. But we have somehow swallowed in our last days that the church is everyone's friend, that we will tolerate everything and anything at the expense of the sacrificing of truth. We will sacrifice truth for unity. We'll redefine words. I'm not saying you guys, you don't do that at this church. I'm talking about the church and the world. And begin to change the definition of things to the point where the church is no longer effective. And to be vigilant is not a popular thing. First of all, I want to tell you, it hurts. You guys, one of our Marines came back from Iraq. And I've shared this with you before. I don't know if it was in this context or somewhere else, but this guy told me, he said, "Yeah, you know, I'd been up with my guys. We'd been up for 3 days. I said, "What do you mean you've been up for 3 days?" He said, "I was awake for 3 days. We were in a firefight. It was huge. We were awake for 3 days. Without sleep. Without sleep." "So how'd you stay awake?" He said, "There's times when I wondered if I was awake." He said, "But you know what? We all get shipped to us from mom and grandma and friends. And when we come home, we take it back with us, Tabasco sauce. Tabasco sauce. And I'm thinking, man, I use that on tacos. What is he thinking? And he said, yeah, when you get sleepy, you just put Tabasco sauce in your eyes. And I said, and what does that do? He said, it hurts so bad you can't go to sleep. He said, the option is getting shot in the head. So let me ask you something. In the spiritual sense, would you put Tabasco sauce in your eyes to stay awake spiritually? Only if you saw somebody get shot in the head, maybe it would encourage you spiritually. You ever seen someone get shot in the head spiritually? You ever seen a person professing Jesus? Or maybe they were a Christian and they fell asleep at the wheel, so to speak, spiritually. And life takes them out. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you in this gathering tonight, you have known people who are Christians? Well, you're not sure anymore. You thought they were. There's a big question mark over their name when you think about them, that are no longer walking with Jesus. All of us who have been a Christian for a prolonged period of time know what that's like. There's people that started with us 30 years ago. Maybe for you it's 50 years ago. Maybe for you it's 5 years ago. They're not with us anymore. At Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, where I grew up spiritually, I'm proud to say that I was discipled and taught by Pastor Chuck Smith, ordained there, trained there. There's brothers that we were serving side by side. I can't even find them anymore. They're not even in a church. Their marriages are gone. Their kids are gone. Their witness is gone. It's a heartbreak. I fell asleep at the post, so to speak. Listen to this. In Matthew 24, 42, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." That word is be vigilant, watch. "But know this, that if the master of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Tabasco sauce in the eyes. Huh? "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect him." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." That word, listen to this word about making your calling and election sure, to be diligent about it. That word is spoudazo. Isn't that a great word? That word spoudazo means to ratify, to confirm, to make sure you're a Christian tonight. No one can do that but you. And the Bible commands us in 2 Peter 1:10, "You, me for myself, you for you, must make your calling and your election sure." Meaning this, that am I a Christian? Am I walking with God? Is my life bearing fruit? Wow. Almost done. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. This is a tremendous verse. Matthew 25, verse 1. Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." That means they're planning ahead. It could take time. Better take extra oil. "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins who arose and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not be enough oil for us and you, but go rather to those who sell it, buy it for yourselves.' But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, church, went in to be with him at the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Wow. Perseverance, church. Hanging in there. Being ready. Everything that is within your power to do, that must be done. Imagine if we are on the threshold of Christ's return. I pray so. Don't you pray that? At home we pray it. We pray it here. We pray it in prayer meetings. Lisa and I in the morning when we pray, "Oh Lord, come today." Especially at the end of the month when the mortgage is due. "Please, Lord, Think about that. You see, if you are persevering on with Christ, and if you're ready, you will never be afraid of His imminent return, for He could come at any moment. And I want to ask you right now, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? He could come at any moment. You say, Jack, I don't think He's going to rapture us out of here pretty soon. I don't think it's going to happen that quick. Listen, it may or may not. Are you ready to meet Him? What if tonight you pull out of this driveway and you hit an oncoming car? You better be ready to meet Him. It's very, very critical. And so you want to ask this question of yourself. Am I walking with Him, developing with Him? Am I growing with Him? This must happen. Stay focused on Him. Listen, I want to invite you right now to make this decision. If you're a believer tonight and you've strayed, it's time for you to get right with Him. Imagine if He's coming tonight, early tomorrow morning. The Scriptures makes it very clear. We need to be watching and ready. What if tonight you have never understood, but maybe tonight you do, that Jesus not only died on the cross for your sins, but He's saying, I want you with me in heaven forever, but your sins have separated you from me, and I want you to give me your sin. Like a little child holding a gun. They don't know what it's all about, but it can kill them. Imagine taking that sin and taking it to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. You're asking for it. I'm sorry to give you this messed up, soiled, broken, here glass inside of it, shaking box of my life that I've broken. I want to give to you because you're promising me eternal life. If I recognize and confess my sin, meaning that I agree, Lord Jesus, my sin put you on the cross. That's right. I want to give you opportunity to do that right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Remain seated. Prepare your hearts for worship. But for some of you today, tonight, it's a time to accept Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would move in this place and even upon those that are hearing right now, Lord, that they would, number one, first of all, as a believer, check all the bases, that they are obedient to you, loving on you, Lord, and presenting themselves unto you, Father, as living sacrifices, focused on Jesus. And where rededication needs to take place, Christian, recommitment, do it now. Call out to Him now and follow Him now. But maybe tonight you're saying, I need to know. Does God love me? Is it true for me, Pastor Jack, that Jesus died for me too? That I can start a new life? I can become new all over again? I can be forgiven? The guilt removed from my life? I can become a new creation in Jesus Christ? I can have a new life? Can I really restart? Yes. But you have to bring that box. That box represents your life. And your sins have separated you from God. And He's saying, I'll take that. Come to me. Repent of your sin by saying, Lord, I've done wrong and I need you to forgive me now. And I'm going to follow you tonight. I'm going to follow you today. If that's your heart's desire, if that's your prayer right now, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up in this place tonight, and I'll see your hand. God bless you. In the middle, off to the side, God bless you. Anyone else? In the back, up front right here, several of you in the back to my left. Anyone else? Way back against the glass, over here to my right, you right there. Anyone else? You're saying, Jesus, come into my life and write my name in your book of life. I want to go to heaven when I die, or I want to go up when you come. I want to become a follower of Jesus. God bless you right there. Anyone else? Beautiful. Yes, in the very back. I want you to listen to this worship song right now. Those of you who raised your hands, you just listen. Let these words sink into your heart. In a moment, we're going to be giving you a Bible. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward tonight to receive our tithes and our offerings as we worship the Lord. Remain seated as we praise Him right now in our giving and in our singing and in our prayer.